And we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5, where we'll be. If you don't mind, please find your place there. When you found your place, would you say amen? Amen. All right. I think that's most of you. But again, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. I'm going to read it out loud and then we'll read it together as a church. Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Let's say it together as a church. Galatians 5:25. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." With the Lord's help this morning, I'd like to preach a message entitled, "Gauging the Spiritual Temperature of Your Life." Gauging the spiritual temperature of your life. Would you pray with me? Father, I do want to rejoice this morning in the presence, Your presence. God, I want to thank You this morning for the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I want to thank You this morning for a wonderful group of people in front of me, Lord, that have made the decision to come to church and worship. I just pray You'd give them a special blessing for their obedience. And even perhaps there may be some here that didn't really want to be here. God, I pray that You would speak to them and encourage their hearts and to show them Your power and love. Lord, I do thank You again for our church and what You're doing in our lives. We just ask You to lead us ahead, Lord. We are in desperate need of revival. I am in desperate need of revival. I want to grow, Lord. Our church wants to grow spiritually. And so, God, have Your will and way in the service. Change lives for Your glory, and we'll give You all the praise. I do ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, a short verse packed with great power, packed with great meaning and great context. You'll notice that chapter 5 of Galatians speaks of the Spirit-filled life. It also talks about the flesh life, and I'll mention more about that here in just a moment. But I do believe that we can gauge the spiritual temperatures of our life. Let me ask you something this morning. I don't mean to cause any arguments among anybody here, especially between any spouses, but anybody that lives together, I do not want to cause any arguments. But let me ask you this. Who controls the thermostat in your home? I'm seeing heads turning already all over. That can be a place of great turmoil at times. Great battles, great discussions, great protest, in fact, of who controls the thermostat. Now, if you're in my house, I think it's a little bit of both. But I tell you what, if it was up to me, the temperature would be really cold. I mean, if I didn't have to worry about all the things that are going along with skyrocketed bills and different things like that, I would be tempted to put it down a good bit lower. But my wife, on the other hand, she likes it just cozy. Well, her idea of cozy and my idea of cozy are very different. I'm one of those weird ones that you like it so cold that it feels good just to have a blanket, but to keep it that cold. Anybody with me on that? Say amen. All right. Few of you here. But nevertheless, it is one of those places that can be a place of contention of who is going to control, or sometimes it might be who changed the thermostat. Who changed it? Who bumped it up? Who bumped it down? We need to know this. This is very important because it needs to stay. Nevertheless, you understand what I mean here. We do control the thermostats in our homes and workplaces and different places. And you know, the truth of the matter is, I want to bring out a truth here that all of us as believers need to grasp. Did you know that you hold the control of the thermostat of your spiritual life? You control the thermostat, the spiritual thermostat of your life. And I'd like to see here that as Paul is writing about the work of the Spirit and the work of the flesh against each other, he is putting an awesome responsibility on the believers here that we're going to see also in Ephesians chapter 5, where he's going to talk about how not only should we live in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? He says, okay, you're to live in the Spirit, but you're also to walk in the Spirit. Well, let me tell you, the first part is talking about your basic salvation, your conversion. Because when a person receives Christ, the Bible describes it as that person being born again. They receive a new life, okay? They are now living in the Spirit, if you will. He is in you. He comes and resides in you, never to leave. You are sealed until the day of redemption, the Bible says. And so the Spirit of God is living in you. That won't change. But Paul says, as believers, we got to take it another step. Not only are you to live in the Spirit, in other words, have the Spirit in you and to realize that, but you are also to walk in the Spirit. That, my friend, is equivalent to being filled with the Spirit. It is for the Spirit of God to have control of my life, and I have surrendered my will to His to walk in sync with Him. I am walking in the Spirit. That is the command that we have here. It's not a suggestion. It's just not a perhaps an idea. It is a command for God's people. So I'd like to see several things if you're taking notes here this morning. Would you notice with me, first of all, I'd like to see who controls the temperature of your spiritual life. That's point number one. And I answered it a moment ago. You do. I do. Of my own spiritual life. You see, God has given each one of us the access to the spiritual thermostat of our lives. Now, it's a little different, you know, a place like this. Can you imagine everybody having access to the thermostat? Miss Doris, you're laughing down there. Yeah, I mean, it would be chaos, wouldn't it? I mean, you would have 150 different ideas on what the thermostat should be. I mean, it would be good. Somebody suggested that, Pastor, would it ever be possible for us to put a wall right down here and it would stop right around here and this side would be the cold room and this side would be the hot room? I said, that does not cultivate unity. I'm so sorry. Maybe it does. Maybe it makes everybody happy. I don't know. But nevertheless, there's only a couple people that have access, and I am not telling you who they are. You'll be going after them all the time. But, folks, I want to tell you something. God has given you and me access to our spiritual thermostats. Because we even see this truth coming out, and even in the Old Testament, the idea of that personal responsibility that God Himself gives to us in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. If you want to write down these references, we don't have time to go to them. But he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. You see what God's saying right there, friend? He's saying, I've given you two choices. And the thermostat that he has placed in our lives as believers, two choices. It's not a different degrees that you can choose as we do with our physical temperature. No, my friend, it is two choices. You want to know what the two choices are? It's flesh or spirit. It's flesh or spirit. And you say, well, listen, I just decide not to choose. Listen, not choosing is you are automatically in the flesh. It's an automatic movement to the flesh when one chooses. So we have to choose that we are going to walk in the Spirit. It's like you this morning coming to church and just making a decision this morning as you listen to the Word of God that by God's grace, I'm going to be one that walks in the Spirit. What about you? What about me? And this decision is to be made every morning, every night, and throughout the day. checking the thermostat, and we're going to look at some indications. But even in Joshua, he told Joshua there, he says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. You see, we have to make that decision. We have to make that choice. And God will help us to make the right choice, because we know that the Spirit is in us and the Spirit is willing. But we have to make the decision to listen to Him. We have to make the decision to yield to Him. And so, again, if you choose not to walk in the Spirit and say, well, I don't want to live the flesh life, but I don't know about this Spirit-filled life, you automatically default to the walking in the flesh. Can I just say it like this? There's no neutral ground. Many Christians like to think of the Christian life as there's a possibility of being neutral with God. And forgive me for getting ahead of myself here. I think I am. I look down my notes here. But when God was speaking, when Jesus was speaking to the church in Revelation, the church of Laodicea, you remember He said that you're neither hot nor cold. And it basically made God nauseous. Do you know what He was saying about that? He says you're a church that's neutral. You're not giving me your all. You're neither hot, neither you're cold. You're right there in the middle. You're just basically saying I'm comfortable and fine right here. I don't want to be all out for God. I'll be a Christian and everything, and you know, I'll do things just to get by. But praise God, I am not going to do all that is called for me to do. I'll praise Him. But I am not going to live that life. And God looks down on a church like that and a Christian like that and says, you make me sick to my stomach. And that should be something that wakes us up as believers to say God is not interested in His children living neutral lives. And God is so long-suffering with us, is He not? He works with us every day. And that's why forgiveness is so awesome. Because every day when you and I get into a neutral slump, God convicts us and we come to Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've been in a neutral slump. And God says, I forgive you, son. I forgive you, daughter. And restores us back to full. And we walk with that. And that's the Christian life is supposed to be. It's the seeking to be all out for God at all times. You might be considered a fanatic for Jesus. But you know it's God's will for you to be a fanatic for Jesus? Do you know that? Yes. God wants you to be sold out, to be such of a Christian, when people look at your life, they know without a doubt, that person right there loves Jesus. They're not perfect. They don't carry themselves because, by the way, if you're an arrogant Christian, people won't think you look like Jesus. Mark it down. But when you live the Spirit-filled life of humility and boldness and faith, I'm telling you what, it's a fanatic life for God, and it's God's will, and it's time for members at Crooked Creek Baptist Church to become fanatics for Jesus. Y'all want to close the service and give an invitation? We can, because that's really what it's all about, folks. When it comes to homecoming, we come home to God, we have to realize that we got to be all out for God. No middle ground, Lord. You say, well, you just don't know my situation, Pastor. You know I don't. But God does, friend. God knows right where you're at. He's got your address. He knows what you're facing. He knows where you've been. He knows where you're going. And if you follow what God is saying here, God is not interested in having part of you. He wants all of you. I mean, think about that. I mean, just think about that with me for a moment. Does God make deals with His people? Be like, all right, son, I know you're going through a hard time. Why don't you just give me 50%? You just try to go to church every once in a while and, you know, just whatever the case may be, you'll be all right. Does God make deals like that with His people? No. God's a holy and righteous God, an all-powerful God who shed His blood so that I could be eternally saved. And the least I can do is give Him everything.
And I fell so miserably, church, so many times. I know I do, but by God's grace, I want to get back up. And I want to give Him my all. I want to say, Lord, You take all of Brinson Jennings and forgive me when I take him back. I don't just want to live in the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. People say, do you know the Spirit-filled life? Listen, every Christian ought to experience the Spirit-filled life. It's all out for God. That's what it is. And when God calls your name on your sin and He names it, you confess it. You humble and get right. When God tells you to go somewhere, you go. When God says you to be faithful, you be faithful. That is walking in the Spirit. You see, we see this doctrine taught in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to run out of time. But what it teaches is the Spirit-filled life is basically the crucified life. What do you mean by the crucified life, Pastor? Well, let me explain it to you like this. Romans chapter 6 talks about that we are buried with Christ in His death, and we are raised together with Christ in His resurrection. Do you know what that's talking about? It's basically saying when you come to know Jesus, what takes place is your old life is buried. That's your old man, also called the flesh. Also called the flesh. The flesh is supposed to be buried. And then we are made alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the new life. That's the new nature that God desires for us all to be walking in. It's also called the newness of life. You know, the newness of life is not just to be at the day of salvation. You can be renewed daily, friend. You can be renewed in a meeting like this, realizing there's some things you have got to get right with God. And He will forgive you and restore you once again. You see, my friends, we see God has given us the ability to control our spiritual life by making a choice to walk in the Spirit. Number two, if you're taking notes, what indicates the temperature? What indicates the spiritual temperature of your life? I gave you the answer in the last two words. What is it? Your life. Okay, just like over there on that thermostat and just like the one at your home, it's got the numbers and maybe it doesn't have the numbers. Maybe it has the numbers, but maybe it just has the dial that you move back and forth with the little red indicator, or it's digital. But nevertheless, you have the indicator that shows you where it is. So what is the indicator for you and me? It's simply your life. Your life shows every day what setting you are on spiritually. It is revealed daily. And guess who sees it? All those around us. See, I can be thinking I'm Mr. Spiritual, but I'm telling you right now, I'm not the one to be asking if I'm spiritual. I'm not the one to be asking, are you truly walking in the Spirit? If you really wanted to know, you would want to ask those people that are around me the most. My wife, my children, church members, neighbors. I mean, because that's where people see the real us. And that is going to be revealed whether or not. And so it's indicative that we understand that the Spirit-filled life is observed through the way you live out your life. Can I tell you something very simply that shows that when we are walking in the Spirit? These three things will be present when it will indicate that you are walking in the Spirit. I want you to remember these. Life in the Spirit believes God. Life in the Spirit obeys God. And life in the Spirit praises God. I'm going to say those again, all right? Walking in the Spirit, number one, believes God. You take Him at His word. You believe that He's alive. You believe that He is sovereign and ruling and He's wonderful and great and perfect and holy and just and benevolent. You believe all the attributes of God. You, walking in the Spirit, you are believing God. Number two, you are obeying Him. The word that in His word, it has been revealed and you obey it. That's walking in the Spirit. And not only do you obey it, but then thirdly, you
praise God. See, the flesh doesn't want to praise God. The flesh doesn't want to obey God. And the flesh certainly does not want to believe God. The flesh wants to doubt. You see, the flesh wants to go my own way. You see, the flesh wants to pout and complain, not praise, be disgruntled. There are people here that should be in this church this morning from years past that are not here because they are disgruntled. And they're not walking in the Spirit. They're not in any church. You see, the fact of the matter is, your life should show forth these facts, these understandings of walking in the Spirit. Can I say that, listen, the Holy Spirit is never grumpy. The Holy Spirit is never grumpy. What is the definition of grumpy? Well, I guess you could define it in a lot of ways. Some of us it might be, or it might be, so many things when we get grumpy, short-tempered. That's not a walking in the Spirit. As Brother Young said, and I don't know if anybody's taken deep breaths since Brother Young preached that message on gentleness. He gave what is the definition of gentleness? It's this. I've done quite a few of those in the past few weeks. God, Spirit, in our lives will be evident to others. You can say you're Spirit-filled and walking in the Spirit, but what would others observe? We just went through 3 John in our Sunday school, and Gaius, the first one, and then you have the last one, Demetrius. He gave a record. He says, you all have seen their lives. Their lives bear record. You give testimony that they walk in truth, that they walk in the Spirit. But the middle guy, Diotrephes, he was one that sought the preeminence. It was all about him. He didn't want anybody else. So, but my point is people see you and people observe. And you know what would be a good test for us to do? It would be good for me to ask my spouse often, my wife, or even my kids, to some degree, you don't even have to use the same words, but maybe even ask the question, do you believe that I'm walking in the Spirit? Do you believe my life demonstrates walking in the Spirit? If not, I want to work on it. Listen, somebody in the flesh will never ask questions like that because they're too prideful. They're too prideful. When God says, look, we need to be revealed who we really are and seek to do exactly what God's called us to do. You see, when there is in the flesh, there's a lack of submission to authority. Want it our way. It's my way. But when we're in the Spirit, we joyfully submit, even when it's not convenient or comfortable. Your appetite when you're in the Spirit are for the things of God, His Word, His people, His meetings. In the flesh, not so much there. The way you spend your time and your money will indicate how many times and what setting you have chosen throughout the day. Am I on the setting of the Spirit? And here's a question that I'd like to ask you this morning. Is it possible to live the Christian life in the flesh? Yes and no. You can be saved. You can come to church. Some of you may be here at the church this morning. You're in the flesh. You're here because you're here for somebody else. You're in church, but you're here for the wrong reason. And you could go down the line that. So you can walk through the Christian life, if you will, but here's the difference. When I walk through life just in the Spirit, but not walking in the Spirit, my life is becoming truly a waste. You say that sounds harsh. Well, it's true. I got this balloon right here. Illustration. I'm living my life in the in the flesh. It's just blowing wasteful air. You say why it's wasteful? That's my life, just living in the flesh, even as a Christian. Whether that be years, months, days, continuing to claim to be a Christian, but just living neutral, living for me, claiming to be a Christian. Still doing the same thing, time goes on. And then a person that lives habitually in their flesh at the end of their life, do you know what the Bible says is going to happen? It's all going to burn up. And for safety reasons, I cannot build a fire this morning to demonstrate burning sticks. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pop this balloon. This is a symbolic of a person that lives their life in the flesh, and they get into the life. It's going to be a waste. There's not going to be anything to speak of in eternity for what you did for God and how you lived out your life in full power of the Holy Spirit, saying, God, I'm all yours. You own me, God, and I'm thankful for it. I don't want to be a lukewarm believer. I don't want to be a neutral Christian. I want to lay up treasures in heaven, and you seek to live the Spirit-filled life. Notice I didn't say a life of perfection, sinless perfection. It's impossible. But when you wake up every day with the goal to walk in the Spirit, do you know you're laying up treasures in heaven? Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where neither thieves break through nor steal. The Bible says you're laying up treasures. Gold, silver, precious stone, God says, that will stand the test of the judgment seat of Christ. And that's what God's going to do. Now, these gold bricks here are not real gold, okay? Just didn't want anybody robbing me outside the door. These are Bible time bricks. But they are symbolic of what we're going to do. And I can only imagine, friend, I don't know how this is going to look in heaven. The Bible is not crystal clear on this, but it is clear on the fact that we are laying up, when we live in the Spirit, we are laying up treasures in heaven. And what God demonstrates, and I don't know how all this is going to work out, but the Revelation does clearly describe that the saints, believers, will be laying the rewards that we get from living on this earth in the Spirit, the rewards we're going to be able to put at the feet of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. And friends, I don't know, depending on your lifespan, I say, how long is this pile going to be by living a life filled with the Spirit, seeking to walk in the Spirit? It could be miles long, and you'll have 10,000 upon 10,000 years to present those rewards of walking in the Spirit to Jesus Christ. And my friends, it just doesn't mean becoming a martyr on the mission field. It could be faithfully working in the nursery. It could be helping faithfully stack up chairs after homecoming. No hint intended, I promise. There is no limit on walking in the Spirit. There's so many ways. Everything we do, we walk in the Spirit. When I go into the workplace, you go into the workplace, are you walking in the Spirit? When you go home today, you walking in the Spirit? That's what God wants us to be. People who habitually walk in the Spirit and make it their goal. And my goal. That's what we want to do. You see, the doctrine of the flesh, the old man, what a lot of Christians try to do, and I've been there, but you know what we try to do? We try to improve the flesh. But you can't. He's dead. When I got saved, the old man died with Christ, was buried with Christ, and rose again in the resurrection to the newness of life. And that old man is dead. And I need to, by faith, reckons, as Paul told the Colossians, as you have received Him, meaning salvation, he says, walk ye also in Him. In other words, by the same faith that you got saved by, that same faith you walk in the Spirit by every day. Lord, I believe that old man is dead. I'm yielding my life to You by faith. I'm trusting You to live through me. We will never make the old man better. It is an impossibility to strengthen the flesh. I mean, imagine how insane it would be to think that we can improve something that's dead. No, we can only yield to that which is alive. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, you could go out here to Seymour's salvage yard and you see all those old beat up trucks and cars off 441. Just horrible looking. You could get on there maybe perhaps and put a good fresh paint job on one. Make it look pretty on the outside. That'd just be a total waste of money, wouldn't it? It'd be a total waste of time, wouldn't it? Why is that? Because there's no life in that car. And you can make it look good all day long, but there's no life there. And what God wants you, friend, what He wants to do in your life, in my life, He wants there to be life. He doesn't just want you to paint the outside every day. He wants you to be alive and walk in the Spirit. I close with this. How do we keep the temperature where it needs to be? I'm gonna close with this. I'm gonna use some discipline here, and as much as I don't want to do this, I'm going to do it. But let me give you one word here on, I believe, the key to keeping the temperature on the right setting for every day of your life. Please, this is very basic, but it's fundamental, and it's something we all got to get. You want to say, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but how? How do we keep it on the right setting every day in the way that the Bible tells us to? I want to tell you this right now. Prayer. I'm not going to go there because I want to be respectful of time. Listen. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did He tell those disciples that could not stay awake? He said to Peter, could you not watch me with me 1 hour? This is the same Peter that just moments before said, Jesus, I will die with you and for you. He couldn't even keep his eyes open while his Savior, his Master in sight was in agony. And what broke Christ's heart the most about Peter being in the flesh and being sleepy is that the spiritual battle that Christ was raging right there as He wrestled with Satan. They fell asleep. And He came back and He told the disciples, He told Peter especially, He said, look, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And He was teaching them that the power is in prayer. Jesus Christ, how did He get to Calvary? He used the ministry of prayer. Do we see it, church? How did He overcome Satan? In the pain and agony that He experienced, He went and submitted His heart to the Father in prayer. God, not my will, but Thy will be done. That's prayer, friend. And that's our prayer every day. Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. Oh, God. It's a daily surrender to God in prayer, communicating with the Lord that my life is not my own. It belongs to You, Lord. The same thing happened when the disciples couldn't cast out the demons. They were frustrated. How in the world, Jesus, did You just cast out the demon from that young man when we've been trying all this time? And I'm going to give you the abbreviated version. You know what He told them? He said, listen, this kind comes not but by prayer and fasting. And what He meant by that, when He said fasting, I believe that it includes all. But it includes the basic idea of refraining yourself from worldly pleasures for the sake of reaching people with the gospel. Reaching, seeking to live a victorious Christian life with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you right now, you know why I believe a lot of times Brinson Jennings don't have the power that God wants him to have? I hadn't been in the prayer closet. I complain, Lord, why I can't get victory over this worry. over this pride. God's reminding me, son, you have spent very little time with me. Communing with me. And we wonder why we can't walk in the Spirit. I want to tell you the key for me and you, God's people, is to get back to the prayer closet. That private prayer. Public prayer is good, but private prayer, not just in the closet, but in the closet of your own heart. You know, you can be working and talk to God. I heard somebody say one time, when you're talking to God, Satan will try to call and he'll get a busy signal. Now, in this day, when we got phones, when it seems like three other people can call us while we're talking to one, we have to reject call, receive call, stay on call. You got all these options. I feel like that's the way sometimes when I'm talking to God. Don't you feel that way sometimes? Satan's trying to get in. But you know what? Just let him get the busy signal. Spend time communing with God daily, everywhere you go. I was challenged by this. And Brother Tyler, this is what I want my life to be. This is my goal. I'm not reached it there, but this is my goal. And I'm going to close with this. My goal as a Christian is to be God, be the first one that I talk to every day and the last one I talk to every day. And I want Him to be the one that I talk to most every day. I want that to be my goal. And I believe when we find that pattern of life, we will find a life, your life, walking in the Spirit. May God help us. Would you pray with me? Father, You are the mighty God. And Lord, nothing is too hard for You. And I thank You, Lord, that You make it clear in Your Word that we are to walk in the Spirit by Your power and not our own. Lord, in this invitation, I pray that You would lead very clearly. Please make Your truth very understandable. Lord, what You're seeking to convey to the heart, would You, Lord, please just reveal it in a very personal way to everyone here. As with heads are bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask a question here before we get started.